أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله، وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى وهو يسأل: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين، وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلا تكونوا تعقلون. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, our praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the Nur al-Samawati wal-Ard. If anybody wants light, that light, if it's true light of guidance, it will only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever Allah does not make for him a light, then he has no light. You have to be really clear in these days. Other times as well, but when you have the information age, you have to be really clear about your spiritual navigation. Because the time is not as long as most of us think. Nobody knows when the time is going to come. Nobody knows when the ajal is going to come. And nobody has the time these days to experiment. If you want to experiment, you experiment with chemistry or something, trying to find a new formula for something beneficial to people. But what you don't experiment with your deen. You don't experiment with your soul. Especially during these times, because we live in a time where everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a theory. You can go online and people have all sort of amazing things that they say. Some of it sounds like knowledge. Some of it sounds like wisdom. But if you examine it in light of the Kitab, in light of the Sunnah, many times things that sound very wise, actually they're kalimatul kufr, statements of disbelief. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that a time will come where a man will wake up in the morning as a mu'min wa yumsi kafira. But by the time he reaches the misa, the evening time, he becomes a disbeliever. So spiritual navigation is very, very important. Another one of the challenges of today's time, and I see a lot of Muslims leaning towards this, is that everybody's opinion is valid. Every view is acceptable. Just the way that they're trying to stuff down people's throat, the acceptance of same-sex marriage, the way in some cases they're pushing down people's throat, the acceptance of al-mukhaddarat. In Washington State, they just made a law. They just elected, they just appointed a weed czar. They already made weed smoking marijuana permissible. Alcohol is already permissible. Fornication is already permissible. So the Muslim has to navigate, because at the other end of this spectrum of who's motivating the creation to cause mischief in the earth is none other than Shaitan, Iblis. Alhamdulillah for the guidance of Islam, because it's not complicated. It only becomes difficult on you, brothers and sisters, if you complicate the matter. That's why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ad-deen yusrun. That this religion is easy. And no one makes the religion difficult for themselves, complicated for himself, except it overpowers him. The beauty of the guidance of Islam is that it does provide a certain level of spiritual navigation on a day-to-day basis. You know why they call it sunnah? Is something that you do as a matter of course. It's a path, like millah. You know, they say millah to Ibrahim, he was hanif, he was inclined towards the truth, meaning that his demeanor and who he was, his character, not that he was perfect, although the majority of ulama consider prophets to be ma'asum, free of major sin, none of them were perfect. But they developed a characteristic, a leaning, so that they're always seeking spiritual navigation. Just like if you drive your car to a certain place every day. So you automatically know that it's going to slow up at this intersection, that this red light's going to be a little long. You know that you have to jump in this lane over here because you're going to make the turn over there. So you become used to navigating that way. Even though something may come up a little different, but you're still prepared to navigate. Islam is like that. Spiritual warfare is like that. You don't have to get up every day and think of a new plan. No. Indicator Shaitan, kana da'ifa. Allah said that the plan of Shaitan is weak, but it's only weak if you don't have a plan. If you don't have a plan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something different about it. That's why he says, Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani Adam, Allah ta'abudu shaitan. Have I not made a contract with you, O mankind, that you shall not worship shaitan? Innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Verily he is a manifest enemy to you. وَإِنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. But to worship me instead, this is the straight path. But then he says something very interesting. He said, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًا كَثِيرًا. He says, because verily he, and he's talking about Iblis, Shaitan, the devil, he has led astray many nations before you. The Shaitan is not just an individual operative. He goes after your whole family. He go after your community. He go after your nation. He go after your generation. Sometimes you can see Shaitan in generations after generations. You can see it in the father. Then you can see it in the son. Then you can see it in the grandson. The same thing. The same plan. Because there's no guidance. So the guidance of Islam is navigation. the Muslim has to engage in spiritual warfare. Physical warfare, maybe, all depends on the condition. A lot of different conditions and rules and regulations concerning that. Nobody should even want to fight. Just off the top of his head, the Prophet said, "La tatamanna liqa' al-adu." Never wish that you're going to meet your enemy. But if you happen to meet them, then hold firm. But he's talking about the physical fight. We're talking about the bigger fight here, which is the spiritual battle. The Prophet said, "Akbar jihad, jihadu nafs." The biggest jihad is the jihad of your soul. So the question is, brothers and sisters, how do you maintain, what are the tools for maintained spiritual warfare? Because what was came down, what was sent down to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it was specifically designed, specifically engineered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to thwart Iblis. Specifically designed. This is why when the Prophet was born, one of the great scholars of Islam, Jalaluddin Suyuti, he wrote a book called Al-Khasa'is, and it's about the miracles of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he mentioned it when the Prophet, on the day that the Prophet was born, Iblis set up, gathered all of his lieutenants and said, "Somebody's about to be born who's going to ruin everything we're working for." Because by that time, people had started to worship the Christ, alayhi salam, and the original message of Jesus, which was the last godly message on earth, had already been corrupted to a large degree. So he sent them all out to, he said, "Find them." And they all went all over the earth, different places, looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, when the Prophet was born, just like when the Quran was revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed, he shut down the listening post of the shayateen who would listen out in the heavens to see the devils. They would listen to see what was going to happen here and here and here. He shut them down. He shut it down with falling shooting stars. So they didn't know, but Iblis knew something was afoot. So they all searched. Came back and said, "Master, we've searched high and low, we've searched the earth, and we couldn't find anything." So Iblis said, "I'm going to go look for myself." So he went, he was looking, and he finally found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, right after he'd been born. But he came back having done nothing. So they asked him, they said, "Master, did you find him?" He said, "Yes, I did find him. Walakin ma'ahu Jibril." He says, "But Jibril was with him." Because what the Prophet came with is specifically engineered. It's like medicine. It's specifically calibrated with just the right amount for you to be able to navigate through this dunya. Doesn't mean you're going to not be hit here and there. Because there's three different ways that the shaitan attacks people. Three principal ways. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, one of the great scholars of Islam, he wrote a book called Madarij al-Salikin ila Rabbil Alameen. The levels of the seekers who seek the Lord of all the worlds, being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an explanation of Iyaka na'abudu wa Iyaka nasta'in. It's three volumes, but it's a very good book. Some of it is in English too. He outlines the three different ways, the principal ways Iblis attacks. The first way, beloved, is ignorance of your religion. If you're ignorant of your religion, ignorant of what is required of you as a Muslim man, as a Muslim woman, ignorant of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the truth from Allah, ignorant of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his statements, his hadith. You don't have to know all of it. You don't have to know all of the hadith. No, but you should know enough to know I can distinguish between truth and falsehood. If you're ignorant of religion, just like if a person says they want to go from Sacramento, say I want to go to San Francisco, and I hop on I-5 and I head straight north and I'm going. Where you going, man? I'm going to San Francisco, man. My intention is to go to San Francisco, but you're not going in the direction that leads you to San Francisco. So if a Muslim says, I want to go to Jannah, I want to be a Muslim, I want to have a Muslim household, I want to have a Muslim life, I want my children to be Muslim, I want my family to be Muslim, I want to understand my religion. Well, you have to take the steps that's going to lead you to that way. And that's why you need to access the guidance in that matter, because it's specifically designed to take you on that path. That's why Allah says in Quran, وَمَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Whoever holds fast to Allah, he's automatically guided to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So there's specific things. There's a lot of stuff. I'm going to mention some things that you do, because the first thing is ignorance. The second path of Iblis is Hawa, is your whim, is your ego. He loved the ego. Ego is good for him. Why is ego good for him? Because a person could have the knowledge of truth and falsehood, but because they think so much of themselves, maybe they're arrogant. Because arrogance is one of the byproducts of ego. We know what the Prophet said about arrogance. لَا يَدْخُلُ جَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذُرَّةٍ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ. The person who has the weight of a mustard seed of arrogance in his heart won't enter paradise. So the second is your hawa. Now your hawa, that's the way that you think at things, the way that you reason, how you look at the world, how you look at everything. That's your hawa. When people are always quoting this philosopher, this philosopher, this philosopher, without regard as to whether this quote is actually agreeing with our book, that's you're following your hawa. If you think that our short time on the planet Earth, you're 50 years old, you're 60 years old, you're 70, you're 90 years old, you think that that short lifespan gives you more wisdom than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you say, well, my experience, but you're going against the revelation, that's hawa. Now, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yu'min ahadukum حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. None of you have truly believed. It doesn't say you don't have no belief, but your belief is not really intact. All those hadith, there's many, many hadith in the books of hadith, in the sound books of hadith, where the Prophet said, none of you have believed until he does this. None of you have believed until he does this. Allah says, the person who does this is not a believer, and so on. Doesn't mean you don't have any faith, but he says you don't really have the faith that's required. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you have truly believed until his hawa, your whim. You know, your gut reaction, your gut thought agrees with what the Prophet came with. Now, if you're like that today, they say, oh man, you judgmental, you can't judge. No, but listen, we're not judgmental. It's called discernment, spiritual discernment. It's called basira. Some people say, well, don't be no, why are you judging? Why are you judging what I'm doing? Why can't you accept my lifestyle? Because my hawa, my thinking agrees with the Prophet. And since you're on this page, I disagree with that. Doesn't mean we condemn people. No, that's not what Muslims do. You don't condemn individuals. You may condemn the action, but nobody knows what that last person's deeds are, and you don't know what your last deeds are going to be. The Prophet said, "Innama al-a'mal bil-khawatim." Deeds are reckoned by your last deeds. A person can be doing the work of the people of Jannah until it's only an arm's length between him and Jannah, until what was written on him overcomes him, and he does the deeds of the people of the fire and goes in it. And it could be the other way around. So that's not what this means. But this means that you have some navigation. Okay, this is what you're calling into. It sounds good, but let me just examine it first. Let me look at my map. No, this leads to the hellfire. Sorry. I got to go the other way. That's spiritual navigation. So your hawa, your whim. Now, this takes some time, brothers and sisters. It takes some time. But when you put the effort in it, you see, you have to. Spiritual warfare is like any other type of warfare. You know, when they go to war, they go to basic training, right? They train. They march. They shoot. My son's play baseball. He said, "Abu, you know what? I'm not a good hitter." I'm like, "Dude, you got to do some practicing." And in Islam, you have to strive if you want to have spiritual discernment so that you're navigating. Doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life, but it does mean that you're going to be aware that when blows, when shaitan's coming at you this way, you can say, "Oh, wait a minute, you'll be able to duck. Move to the right. Move to the left." You don't fight shaitan by getting on the battlefield and putting up your dukes. No. You fight against shaitan by adhering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adhering to the sunnah. Making it important. So that's what the Prophet mentioned. Hawa. And then he said in another hadith, he said, "La yu'min ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa walidihi wa nasi ajma'in." He said, "None of you have truly believed until I'm more beloved to him than his son, his parent, and all other people." Now, most ulama call this hub dini, not hub atifi. Hub atifi is emotional, like you love your mother, you love your wife, you love. It's not that type of love. It's the spiritual love. That the Prophet's word is more important to me than your word. The Prophet's way is more befitting for me and my path I want to take than your path. So that's hawa. The third type of way shaitan comes after people is ghufla. It's just neglect. Meaning he ain't just all up in your world, but he just catch you when you're off guard. That happens to a lot of people. Like you're on point now, okay? Not that you're perfect Muslim, because being perfect Muslim doesn't mean, deen, practicing deen doesn't mean perfection. It means striving. Islam is a path. It's not a destination. The destination is either Jannah or not. Everybody has a destination. You ain't reached your destination until you're judged on a day of judgment. You don't get the reality of anything until you get to your grave. Al-hakum at-takathur hatta zurtum al-maqabir. Allah says you are distracted by amassing things in the earth. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the grave. So a Muslim, you always think in terms of your true destination. What's my destination? My destination is Jannah. Where are you trying to go? I'm trying to go to Jannah. I'm trying to go to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's different things that you take, different paths. first path, the first weapon in the spiritual arsenal is Iman Billah. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to believe in Allah. That means you have to believe in His word. That's really important these days. A lot of times when people have problems and they call and they different things and, you know, they write different problems, the answers are so clear. And I refer people. Well, this is what it is, but just go look and sort it to so-and-so. It's right there. Most people, if they open up the kitab with the intention, Allah guide me. Well, just let me. You know, He guides them. Because Allah says, Man jahadu fina lanahdiyannahum subulana. Whoever strives in our way. This is why you have to seek it out. You have to go seek it. Whoever strives in our way, we guide him to our paths. So the first thing is belief in Allah. The second is tasdiq bil rasul. You have to believe that the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, is telling the truth. You can't question that. And people say, Imam, what kind of religion is that you don't question this, you don't question? I say it's a religion of submission. That's what kind. That's what makes you Muslim. You're submitting. The whole idea of having, you're only on the planet for 20, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. And just to make your knowledge based upon the little bit you've learned during that time, that's reckless. Why should I do that? You should access the one who has all the knowledge. Allah already says in the Quran, وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. We've only given you a small amount of knowledge. So you have to believe in Allah. You have to believe the Prophet ﷺ. After that is prayer. Prayer, the salat, is one of the strongest avenues to thwart Iblis in your life. Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That the salat itself prevents evil and licentious acts. The Prophet said, صَلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسِ وَجُمَعَ إِلَى جُمَعَ كَفَّارَةُ لِمَا بَيْنِهِمَا. That the five prayers and Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah is expiation for what happens in between. So the first weapon, the strongest weapon against Iblis is the Salat. Even we establish five prayers a day, even if you're doing haram, man, you get the Salat, break it up. What's going on? Oh, it's time to make Salat. Doggone it. If Shaitan pulls you over for something else, you in this, you get involved, everybody all happy. Here come the Salat. Here come the Salat. You go too far off, here come Jumu'ah. You're getting reminded. You're getting reeled back in. That's why the Prophet said, if a person misses more than three Jumu'ahs in a row without any excuse, there's a black mark. Gets on his heart. It increases until his heart is shut. Because you don't want that. That's one of the downsides. When you don't access spiritual warfare, Allah will cause your heart to shut down. Your spiritual heart to shut down. Well, you'll be one of those people, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبَصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةً. Allah has sealed their hearts and their hearing, and on their eyes is a veil, is a seal. You don't want that. That's when you turn away. But after the Salat, then you have Zakat. Sign the five principles, don't you? Uh-huh. That's why you call them principles. Because Zakat, first of all, the Prophet said, As-salatu nurun, wa-sadaqatu Burhan. He says, prayer is light, charity is truth. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ And they spend out of what we give them. Because people come into this world with nothing. And it is Allah who enriches you. And He knows. And He knows what He's given you. He knows how much He's given you. He's aware of that. And He's looking to see whether you think that that's all on you, your work, your worth, or is it because you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this sustenance. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, صَدَقَةُ الْخَفِي تُتْفِعُ مَسَارِعَ السُّوءِ That charity giving clandestinely, meaning you're not giving it to be seen, you're giving it over on the side. You know, you're giving so that you can thwart some. He says, it pushes back bad things from happening. Meaning that something could be decreed to happen for you. Allah had this coming. This is a bad accident coming up. As a test from Allah. But because of your charity, he holds that back. He blocks it off. He turns it the other way. That's one of the strongest areas if a person is able to push back Iblis, to get him off your path. That's why Allah says in Quran, وَيُطْعِمُونَ طَعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا إِنَّا نُخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا فَوَقَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَرَّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَلَقَاهُمْ نَضْرَةً وَسُرُورًا Allah says, and they spend. He's talking about spending now. And they spend. And by feeding food, even though they like the food themselves, to the miskeen, and to the to the poor, and to the orphan, and to the prisoner, saying, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ We're only feeding you for the sake of Allah. We don't want any reward from you. We don't want any thanks from you. Now he's talking about a mentality of spending. إِنَّا نُخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْتَرِيرًا Because we fear, we're only spending because we fear that terrible, sad day from Allah, the day of judgment. Now, a person's feeding food in the world for no other reason than I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It ain't about you. It ain't about your hunger. And it got very little to do with you, brother. I'm really being selfish. Here, take some more. Because I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah talks about that mindset, and he says, what happens? فَوَقَاهُمَ اللَّهُ شَرَّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ And Allah will save them from the evil of that day. وَلَقَاهُمْ نَذْرَةً وَسُرُورًا And make them meet with nadra, with bliss and happiness. So the sadaqah is important. Siyam Ramadan. Fasting is good outside of Ramadan too, as a shield from Iblis. But specifically during the month of Ramadan, the Prophet said, "Man sama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." That whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with faith, seeking the reward, his prior sins are forgiven. And fasting itself has so many spiritual benefits of shutting down Iblis. During the month of Ramadan, the major shayateen are locked away. So fasting becomes a spiritual tool that you use. After fasting, Hajj, if you're able to make Hajj. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حُجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا Allah has over the people that they should make pilgrimage to the house for those who are able to make the journey. These are spiritual, this is spiritual warfare. This is how Muslim lives his life. Shalat to the next Shalat. Every day, you're working on your prayers. Ramadan comes, I'm working on that. Hajj comes, I got the money, I'm working on that. It's time for Sadaqah come, I'm working on that. You want some more weapons? One of the big weapons is istighfar. Seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making tawbah to Allah. And you gotta really make tawbah. You have to really make it. Every person should make tawbah kind of frequently. The Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, "Inni la astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi fi yawmin akthar min 70 marra." He says, "I ask Allah to forgiveness, and I repent to Him every day 70 times." Because if you make istighfar, if you make tawbah, and of course, tawbah has three or four different components. One, whatever haram you're doing, you stop doing it. Can't make tawbah if you still do it. You stop doing it. Two, you feel remorse for what you were doing. You feel in your heart, you know, man, I was getting down like that. That wasn't even cool. I don't know what was going on. Ya Allah. The third aspect of it is that you make a mental determination in your mind that I'm never going to do that again. Granted, people make tawbah and they go back again. And Allah forgives again. And they go back again. And Allah forgives again. And they go back again. And Allah forgives again. And He'll keep doing that until you reach your final breath. But when you do this, then you're pushing so many demons up off you. You've renewed yourself. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lah." The person who repents from a sin is like the one who has no sin at all. One of the tricks of shaitan is that you're maybe living a sinful life. Maybe you're doing this, maybe you're doing that, maybe you're doing that. Aloha. But you're doing it, shaitan say, "Well, listen, you'd be a hypocrite if you try to go to the masjid now. Will you be here?" You know? And so he wants you to continue in that. But for every sin that anybody does, you can stop right then on the spot and you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and you can repent. And when you make a sincere repentance, you feel it. Everything changes in your life. You get a new infusion of iman. Those of you who have taken shahada, you know how you felt when you first took your shahada? And you felt like, whoo! You know what that feeling was? That's the feeling that you get when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes all your sins. That's why I feel so, whoo, man, whoa, what is going on? Man, Allah just removed your sins, dude. When you make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you make sincere repentance to Allah, I mean sincere repentance, not the fake joy. The sincere repentance is when you do those three things. And if it involves someone else that you wronged, that you go to that person, you make amends with that person. When you do that sincerely, not around people, nobody's watching, just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you get the spiritual benefit from it. You get that upliftment. You feel that power. You feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So repentance is the other tool. The last tool I'm going to talk about today, there's other tools. But you can't, I'd be remiss in my duties if I didn't mention one of the great tools. One of the greatest spiritual tools is dhikrullah. Is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah says in Quran, "Wala dhikrullahi akbar." And the remembrance of the law is the greatest thing. remembrance of Allah, because the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mention of Allah, the constant mention of Allah, recitation of the Quran. Because the greatest type of dhikr is reciting the Quran. Well, not only do you get the reward, you get the hasana for each letter, but the recitation and the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it brings the malaika, it brings angels into your midst that you don't see. See, you got roaming angels all around the earth. There's more angels than there are people. Way more. Whole bunch of them. You don't see them. But if you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you mention Allah, you recite Quran, you're talking about the greatness of Allah, the goodness of Allah, the mercy of Allah. You may be talking to somebody about what Allah's done for you in your own personal life. Man, you know what Allah did for me is so-and-so. I was doing this and that and that. Man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, angels, they like to hear that. They like that kind of stuff. When you hear, they hear Allah's name. What you talking about over there? Because people are not talking about Allah everywhere. When they hear Allah's name mentioned, they come. And when the angels come and sit and start to populate, then devils leave. That's why I tell brothers and sisters, you got a whole bunch of fitna going on in your house? Man, go home, call the adhan, and recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Turn on the tape. And watch what happens to the demons in your home. Seriously. I mean, seriously. You can go to anybody's house and start saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the people who are possessed, because being possessed by demons doesn't mean that you're going around like you show on TV. Like in The Exorcist. That's just Hollywood. That's not what it looked like. But the shaitan will occupy a person's body and their mind and their thinking and their motives. Did they get up in the morning and they're thinking about doing haram? They see something that's not theirs automatically. I'm gonna take that. I'm going to lie. I'm going to steal. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to be treacherous. Some people work for shaitan, don't know it. Some people work for shaitan, and they know it. That's why Allah says, "Alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri an-nasi min al-jinnati wan-nas." Those who whisper to the hearts of men from amongst men and jinn. But when there's mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recitation of Quran. You ever notice that you go around a certain set, you start talking too much, I lost stuff, you're like, man, come on, brother. Brother, we try to watch TV here. Why are you coming with all that? Oh, Lord, Or maybe even a Muslim. But this ain't the time to talk about haram or halal, all right? Right now, we trying to take care of something. That doesn't mean that person's a demon. That means the demons are present in that person. That's all. Nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. No imam, no sheikh, no one. The only man who ever was born who wasn't touched by Iblis was Isa ibn Maryam, according to the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's the only one. When people come into this world, Iblis touches them. He's not playing around with your soul. This is not a game to him. It's serious business. But if you start to take these tools of spiritual warfare and you use them appropriately, and there's other tools as well. Sabr is a tool. Patience is a tool. Enjoining the good, forbidding the evil is a tool. If you do these, listen, when you do certain things, Iblis is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He don't have all the power. His power is only of suggestion, only. Allah didn't give him the power like they show it. They show this stuff in the movies. He come in, he make the buildings fall. He can't do all that. Iblis whispers into the hearts of men. Demons attempt to enter into the hearts and bodies of men. We just happen to be living at a time where there's more demons on the earth. They've been given more license. There's people who believe certain things now that demons automatically have full access to your home, to your life. People's guards are down with respect to Iblis. People don't talk about the devil. You can't talk about the devil in public. What do you mean the devil? Oh, come on, we're not trying to hear that. Even amongst Muslims, we talk about getting our careers, getting our degrees, getting our houses. You don't hear too much conversation about Iblis. So, of course, he's still working at his same, if not greater, capacity. But the more you do these things, and dhikr Allah, he's one of the strongest ones. The last one I'm going to mention, it's one of the strongest things. You get up in the morning, you mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to bed at night, you mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you eat, you mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see another Muslim, you mention the name. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and so on. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب واستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encouraged us to have taqwa by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa taqatihi wa la tumutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah to the degree that's warranted and don't die unless you die in the state of submission to Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yasalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون يذكر الله عظيما يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيم الصلاة يرحمكم الله.
This guy walk out and lost it. Come back and I found.
Okay. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Shalla, La ilaha illallah.